With regards to what happened outside, please, Chairperson.
Please don't bring outside in. Let's not bring outside in. Let's leave outside.
Chair, there
outside.
Seems to be a bunch of unappointed spokespersons on my behalf. I'm addressing you, not them.
Can you speak to me, please? Speak to me. For now, please, let's not take outside in. We stay in. Okay. Let's leave it out like that. Because I did get involved as well as suggested. There was agreement.
Chair, I would like to repeat what I said to you as well in the committee meeting.
Can I
think
just
that's
do
my,
that?
That's my right to do so as a member of parliament.
Well, the point is that on the process that I'm engaged in, I don't know if ever you want to make that an issue. If you want to make it an issue, because it's issue of what happened outside the committee program, the committee is starting now. Can I actually continue with the program of the committee? Because I thought there was resolution, clarity, that issue is actually sorted out. Okay, can we then proceed, we'll actually proceed, and allow you not to bring the outside in. If we can actually then proceed to the next part of our discussion, we did actually have the questions asked by the members, and I thought it might be actually quite important that we also get sense of the issues relating to the NLC's program. I think on my part, I thought there might be one issue that we might have left out, just to take some time around what is good cause, you see. Because good cause may have to do with what is good impact. And there might be actually issues we may not actually be following through properly, to actually get those who are in need. Because I think when you speak on provinces, it does actually highlight that there are areas where there's real need. And obviously on our part, it may be an area which we focus as areas of good cause. So on the other side, I think in the point raised by the honorable member, I think I would ask the committee not to put too much issues on the program of this committee about media, you see. Because when you actually do that, it might actually affect the work we should do as a committee. Because the reference to media, from my point of view, is actually dislocating the kind of program we should look at. What things are said at the media, you make reference to that, you actually engage on those issues, it distorts our committee. I did actually, at some point, when we had an oversight visit, I think the committee will remember, to Gauteng, we were actually seeing the NCRS and SABS. When we actually visiting, we thought we should have a meeting with the NLC. I phoned the chair, trying to see what we can do because we are very close to the premises of the NLC in Tshwane. So after one of my colleagues actually raised a lot of procedural issues, I ended up taking a view that no, I will cancel the meeting. The chair was not very happy because I was trying to get the whole board of the NLC to meet with the portfolio committee. But one member of the committee was thinking, if we are not here in parliament and we are outside, it might be actually problematic in terms of rules and a way on how we manage issues and discussion. Then I actually decided, Chair, to withdraw on that suggestion because there was actually issue of, you know, protection or space on how we actually engage on issues as a portfolio committee. So I withdrew it on the basis of that, but I knew it was a very important issue. For it coming through today, I thought maybe, can we actually agree? Because when I postponed that meeting, I then got a call from a journalist. The journalist is asking me, I'm a chair of the portfolio committee, why did I cancel the meeting? I did actually say to the journalist, you are not a committee member. You are not the member of my committee, so I don't think there's any necessity for me to respond to that question, which was actually quite rude and unbecoming. I don't think we should, as members of parliament, encourage anybody, particularly those who might be in the media, to actually question us individually or even try and use this portfolio committee as a space to deal with issues which may not be referenced, not investigated, cannot be proved factual or not. So we can't actually go and ask the committee, please let's not go out to the media. Let's stay in our committee, can we engage on issues at the level of our agenda as a committee? Because once we take it out, it will actually lose complete control, and we might end up with serious issues of disagreement on the basis of no facts and no information. So I think one wanted just to raise that because it's actually quite important. The point which I think I can actually raise, Chairperson, is that one acknowledges that the NLC records in terms of performance and finances has been properly expressed as very positive. I'm just saying, if you have six clean audits, it does actually mean the job you are supposed to do, the mandate that you're having, is being carried out in a proper way. I'm just raising that as a point, Chair, because I think you can't be smart to a point where you do wrong things past the AG. I'm just raising it as a point, because if we don't raise it like that, we actually might have a big problem later, because the issue of what is actually serious is actually the point of the proactive funding. I'm made to understand. Oh, am I out of order? Let me hear.
Thank you, Chair. I do think you are out of order. I think as opposition, we do have the right to have and form opinions. Even though we sit in the committee, we're not always going to agree. And when I leave here as a member of the portfolio committee and I report to my caucus has the right to say, this is a statement of the EFF on what has transpired and we are unhappy with this. It does not infringe on the committee in any way, but if it is lies that I am reporting on behalf of this or what the committee said, then the onus is on you as the portfolio chair to correct that through the staff that you have. But to be gagged to say we cannot go to the media or we cannot write what we want to write on our own statuses based on what we see as members of parliament, I think it's out of order.
Oh, no, I didn't say that. The unfortunate thing is that English is the second language. You see, because let me just say, isn't it fair to the language, yes, be it. No, Gaseni, ngicela nithule ningenze umsindo ningahluphi sisi unelungelo lokuthi aveze imbono yakhe and ngendlela asho ngayo sisi le nto ngendlela engakhona into engisho ngithi mina njengoba singamalunga le committee asikhulumeni sonke makunama-issues avela angaqondanga kahle sixoxe sibonisane singathi ngoba into yempela yenzakele kusuke umuntu oyilunga lale committee wayo kumuntu obhalayo amaphepha wathi kuye afonele mina lo muntu ushayela mina ucingo uyangibuza ukuthi umhlangano yini wahlala ngabe ngibuzwa untwanje uyakho njengelunga lecommittee lami bengingakujabulela but umuntu obhalayo ngaphandle kunguye ozobuya kimi athi ngigcina isihlalo yini uchitha umhlangano. Yangizwisisa. So yilowo point sisengizama ukuyichaza ngoba ingakho ngithi wena lento oyishoyo angiphikisani nayo. Ngikuvumela 110%. As a member yecommittee ungenza into oyithandayo. And uyisho ngendlela ofuna ngayo uvumelekile ngokomthetho. Qedelela ke siswami uzokwazi namuqhubeka.
Ngiqebile sihlalo enkosi. Into that's why is it English nyani ke is not our first language. But my understanding of what you were saying is how I interpreted it. So xa usithi ke ngoku umntu uye wathetha wathi makuthethwe nawe akanayo imvumelelo yokwenza loo nto leyo. Kodwa ndiyimele into yobana mna xa ndinento yokwazi uyithetha ndikwazi uthetha phambi kwetivi okanye ndikwazi to write what I want to write. So I think we've got each other now. There was a misunderstanding there.
Yiwo siswami.
Not withdrawing anything.
No, siswami bengithi mina ngoba ngiyicacisile ingako ngithi ithi ngibuyele ezulwini sami ushaye ngesixhosa sakho wena sihlanganise lento. Angithi uyabona. Can I then just continue? But I think we have clarified that point. The honourable member, I think she's completely in order with what she thought I was saying. But I will continue with the second language, trying my best to make everyone understand what I mean. So I think the point which I want to raise is that we have 10% of proactive funding. Is it 10%? And we have 90% within the mandate of the NLC of work that is being done. The outcome are positive. We're not going to condone anything which is, you know, at a point where there's people who undermined the entity. The point which was raised earlier, or what we term allegations of fraud, irregularities, we are of a view that in any way possible we'll do the best we can to support you to fight against that. And the reality is that if ever there's any way the committee can do to deal with that issue, we note the legal manager's issue, Sethi, that it is Marcelo. So I think we actually note that and we support it fully. I had a discussion earlier, I think it was late last night, with the minister, who actually was looking at an intervention in support of investigation made by an independent forensic investigator. So I think the point then which one would like to raise, because in the communication raised by the minister, which actually speaks to allegations of fraud and irregularities in allocation of proactive funding by the NLC, I think what is important is actually the point of there is a part where the minister is suggesting that the board should be able to expedite in terms of giving their views relating to the investigation which the minister has delegated to the director general to engage on. So I'm just saying we want to actually pass that. We acknowledge the work that you spoke about in terms of the last part of saying there are these investigations. We do actually have your timeline by end of May. But I think the support of the minister is actually adding to that space. It will be very important that the board is able to engage to expedite the DG, the Director General of the Department. So I would say how you do it, we actually noted the communication of the minister to yourself on the basis of, without having look at terms of reference, but we know it's just facilitating the engagement. The board is actually within its right to engage the DG to expedite the investigations using the independent forensic investigator. Your process has started, we acknowledge that, and I know that your timeline was that it should be by the end of May. April, yeah, end of April. So the one favor one would like to raise on that point which is very important. I would say urgent and important is the issue of the COO. Please don't sit on that. Can you actually have a process that will be quicker, authentic, and it should actually be something that we know it's tangible as well. Because sometimes when we say you should speed up a process, which means you should cut corners, we're not actually do it properly. But we don't want to have a situation where you put someone on suspension. It's actually now 6 months later, you can't explain where the case and the process is. It doesn't actually make sense. It can't be like that. And the view and attitude on my part is to say, if you are able to, over and above the support indicated by the minister, which we quite welcome, we would actually say, as the board, at this stage, around the COO, please facilitate, make sure that within reasonable time you are able to conclude that. We're not saying cut corners. We say do it properly and professionally. It's possible. It can be done. So that we don't have a person taken out of the system for months and you can't actually give sense of where the process is. So I think maybe further, one was actually hoping that we can look at an issue of the proactive funding, because proactive funding is emergency, natural and otherwise, or any other disaster. We see that as very critical, and we are happy and think it's very important that you're actually linking it with a research related to project where you intervene. And the preparatory work you do before you even make that contribution in support, it's actually noted with thanks. So I think one would like then to say, with the comments and questions from the members, on my part, I wouldn't like to have a discussion which is, going round in circles, because it's actually going to create a bit of a challenge. In the issues of allegations, in the issue of irregularities, I think that's one we say, please, if it's end of April, can we talk to you with all issues related to that? And when we talk to you, we want to actually to be sure that you are able, as a board, to engage the DG as instructed by the minister. We actually support that process fully. Can we then actually allow you then, Chair, and the team to speak to some of the issues? But I'm just saying, on the issues that I've raised, I thought it will be actually quite important that we don't actually, play a ball-throwing game to and fro. And at this stage, I think it's quite important that in the work that you do, if I'm actually talking to 10%, it doesn't mean 10% is not important. Issues of corruption and fraud, if it's 10 rands, it's still corruption and fraud. If it's 1 million rands, it's corruption and fraud. So on our part, we're just saying, even if it's 10%, it's actually as important as the 90% of the work we have. But on our part, we think good costs have to be looked at and improved, because we still have lots of South Africans who are in really dire need. There was an example of the Honorable Member Mantashe, but all I'm just saying, I know you may have a table full of documents or a house full of, those who are really asking for assistance, but I'm just saying genuine projects making, impact in people's life, those who are unemployed and poor, will be the ones we really have to get to actually benefit on the resources that we actually have available. Can I hand over to you then, Chair and Commissioner, and the team?
Thank you very much, Chairperson of the committee. In trying to give a response to issues raised, let me also raise my dismay as a person, an old man like me, to be approached in a parliament that must protect me by someone I've never met in my life, to approach approach me in a chamber and point at my eyes to say, it's me. I'm not going anywhere. I don't know whether I mentioned someone's name here, but I think I've gone to school to remember what I said. I never mentioned someone's name, but while I was standing there, I was approached in a belittling manner, which I regard as an offense. I respect my parliament, but I don't want to be taken as a useless person. So it is something that the committee chairperson must look at, because if there are cameras here, I won't take it lightly, because it happened. And it made me, chairperson, maybe, feel like not answering questions. Because if I can be invited, honorably so, and someone who is not a parliamentarian, I've been in parliament myself, I know the rules. If honorable members ask me hard and difficult questions, I will answer them. I don't have a way, because they have appointed me. But someone who has never hired me, who has never given me a job, to come and identify me in front of you, you didn't see it, but other members saw it. Just on my eyes, what the hell is? If it is South Africa that all of us fought for, to be treated like that, is it my skin color? Is it a sin to be black and someone being white or Indian? I rest my case. On the issue of...
Okay. In resting the case, let me just conclude that. It's good. I did actually have a member of the public who was here. Mm-hmm. I saw there's one, you'd think, Tebogo. And there was also, is it Sithatu, I think, and there was actually Joseph's. There was actually an issue which is raised, I didn't see the one you're talking about, but it was raised in the same way, and I've asked both those, these are South Africans that are here because they have interest on the work we do. We are going to actually allow them to come here, participate, but we will actually ask that we don't want to get to a point where people engage each other in a way that is aggressive or violent. It's unacceptable. We are not going to do that. So, Chair, let me just say, because this is our forum, this is our committee. As a chair of the committee, to say, can we actually get you to accept that it's unexpected, it's unacceptable? And I think for Joseph, for Tebogo, I don't know who might have started what, but please, can we ask that we don't get that kind of situation in this room again? I'm just saying for members, Cuthbert was actually raising that point. I'm actually blocking him because I thought it's actually an agenda item that is not in line with our discussion. I'm just saying it's complicated, but in this place, we will keep the decorum of the house. Anyone who comes here, we will actually act in a way of supporting our processes and contributing. We want you to come here. We want you to contribute. The only point, Chair, which I was actually separating, please let's not be media. Our committee, Cuthbert, please don't think you are being suppressed. All I'm just saying, The fear one has got is that we're going to end up having an inquiry and discussion which has got nothing to do with the agenda of this committee. So, Chairperson, can you accept my apology, same to Joseph and Sitatu? Can we not have this kind of thing again? Not in this place. We will ask you to support us, but please do it in a way that is dignified and help us retain the decorum of this house. Chairperson is noted. You can proceed.
Thank you, Chairperson. The members, the honourable members raised questions which the NLC must respond to. With regard to the first question that was asked by the first honourable member, the question of a chairperson resigning, under which grounds? Because when you resign, you must have grounds that you have done something wrong. There was an issue that was referred to as the chairperson having said that he has got a doctorate. Yes, I went to school too. I got two, in fact. The CEO issue. The commissioner will elaborate on the procedure. We welcome the concerns from the honorable members. The issue of beneficiary list. Parliament cannot teach us to break our own law, the law that you gave us. It doesn't matter whether it was interpreted by any other lawyer. Wait for us to test it in the court of law. The courts must adjudicate who is right. I once read a book when I was doing my biblical studies at University of Pretoria, UNISA. Nazareth or Egypt, where was Jesus born? In other words, there must be someone who says, NLC, you are interpreting it correctly. Or NLC, you are wrong. These other lawyers are that is the right of any South African to test it, whether, because we are not the one who wrote that act. It was written here. The clauses are here. I was not there. So the issue of beneficiary list, we won't show it because others are making themselves to be rich, to go and rob these beneficiaries. Because of the amounts of money we display there, we are selling them instead of protecting their own information. Proactive funding from Honorable Yoliswa. It is true, there is a thin line in terms of the act. The minister, the board, or the commission may do a research. Yes, you know, a human being may be subjective. Even if you are objective, other people who will read it may see as a subjective. So I think, yes, we have to educate ourselves until we come to the perfection of making a research that cannot be interpreted as biased towards any political party or biased towards a politician. But yes, you have raised a very cardinal issue that we need to look at, which we believe that the commission will go and revise. But as far as I know, the projects we are funding through proactive funding, all of them are irrespective whether there is this party here or this party here. For example, Honorable Khadebe mentioned some of them during the water shortage here in Cape Town. I phoned the then Premier Honorable Zille to say Lottery wants to come in and provide boreholes so that we can give students water. When there was fires around here in Cape Town, I contacted the politicians here in Cape Town. We went and studied the areas. Everywhere, we went to Northern Cape. We found the old man, Dr. Mutwa Dai. In fact, at his stage, he's all very old. And he said one statement, I fought for the freedom of this country, and I'm dying without being recognized. What is it that the new dispensation gave me? Because the old dispensation troubled me. We built a museum, and in that museum, which was part of those issues that were written about, but the museum is there. Yes, the province must buy the books. The other issue that you raised here is the noise that engulfed the NLC. And I'm happy with your conclusion, Chairperson, to say those are the things that must be investigated thoroughly. Indeed, we'll go on with that process. What have you done that makes, I think it's Honorable Mbuyane, we have done nothing wrong. We have given people money. We have saved their lives. What I know about seeing a bottle, I may see it this side. Someone may come and see it that side. It doesn't mean that because I saw it this side, I'm wrong. It's only that maybe the one who saw that side might be having other objectives. I don't know. Are you hiding something? We are not hiding something. Every funded projects are in the system. Most of them, those who were in the system previously, which Honorable is it Cuthbert? Well, I was not playing the standard of scaring people. We were told, and we saw adverts that our information is no longer with us. Hence, there is a demand of beneficiary list. Before that, beneficiary list was not a problem because beneficiary list could be accessed easily. So we are not even, There was a talk that we want media to be investigated. No. Media is our mouth. They must raise issues that are there. We don't investigate media. But we are saying the information of the organizations must be protected. My information must be protected. I cannot just, you know, willy-nilly give it to someone. The person who was giving you some of the information here, because of this information, his house was vandalized. They broke in and tied even the kids, because of knowing that he is the one who is looking after the NLC information. So they wanted to get it through hook or crooks. The other matter that was raised here, which I must respond before the commissioner and the team responds. Are we in a fight of proactive funding? No. We are doing what the law is telling us to do. Maybe honorable members can just tell us that we are doing it wrongly, improve it in this way. The table that we have shown you there, that is how we are doing a proactive funding. I will leave other questions to the commissioner, but do you want to start with Mafela?
Okay, Chair, I will give Mafela an opportunity, maybe that we explain to the Honorable Chair, because he wasn't introduced, that Ndivo Mafela is our Head of Marketing and Communications. And he believes that when questions are asked about journalists, he's best placed to respond.
And I know the best guy, Joe Mafela. Yeah, so I'm just saying. So it rings, it's okay. Okay, thank you, Commissioner.
Okay, good afternoon, honorable members. I think I will deal with just three questions. There were the questions raised in terms of adverts, who the NLC communicate to, does the nation know about our focus areas and all of that. At the NLC, we do have a strategy that is very rural biased. And I can say, even though my principals have alluded to that, that it is very unapologetic that we are trying to go to all corners of the Republic so that we empower our people, our previously disadvantaged people. So the strategy of the NLC, we are putting these adverts, honorable member, in community radio stations, in community newspapers, all of them, which is a list for the current ones that we are doing for the 1st of April, which we can easily provide. And we have even tasked our provincial managers to go all over, to go seek all those little radio stations, all those communities. We have had a meeting with MDDDA, we have had a meeting with GCIS for the purpose of getting all these community radio stations, even those ones that function once in 6 months, because most of them, they are usually off. Their licenses don't allow to be on air every day. So that's what we have done as the NLC. So we are talking to every member of community. I don't know how many we are, but 58 million of our people, we are talking to them. So there is the issue of ground up whether there has been any issue, why our stories are always there, or whether we are in a fight with them. We are not, as the NLC, in a fight with anyone, but it seems that there are people who are fighting with us. When I was appointed to this position, as the commissioner said, I went throughout, I tried to visit everybody who have had an interest in the work of the NLC. I met all of them. And I had one message. The message was very clear. that you are talking to people about the NLC. I would like to talk to the very same people about the NLC that you are talking to. So it's either I do write of replies, it's either I put adverts. I woke up one day to find a bizarre story on the same ground up, that saying that I was going around promising people adverts, bribing them not to write stories. So it was very bizarre, because all I was doing my job, which is media relations. I talk to the people you talk to. If you write a story about me, I must respond. That's all I did. But no, the allegation that is written is that I am bribing media houses through adverts. Where then must I put advertorials? That's the question that I ask. And then the history of, honorable member, the history of Roundup and the NLC. There have been certain members of the media who have been party or directors to other NPOs who have been beneficiaries of the NLC. That has happened. We have got records to that effect. And we have, don't have any hesitation to put it up to honorable members. That is the, it is the information that is confirmed by our system.
Chair, can you request the speaker on the floor to repeat what he's been saying? I didn't catch him clearly.
With regard to the history or the why are we always on one media house, or all the allegations seems to come from media, one media source. There is a history of a beneficiary grant maker relationship with the said person who I wouldn't like to mention here. So the issue is that there have been some directorships that have made applications to the NLC, and those applications have been historically funded. And at some point, I think that funding, as you know, the NLC, we don't have permanent arrangements to fund people. We do on an application basis. Some year we'll find you, some we don't. So as we sit, we will never know whether we are being cajoled to fund or we are not being cajoled to fund. So we just continue doing our work. So the only thing that I can confirm is that there have been that beneficiary grant maker relationship in the past. I also want to deal with the issue of education and awareness. The NLC is going all out to educate our people about our mandate. This includes our regulatory mandate and our grant-making mandate. We do this because most of the people, they understand our grant-making mandate all over the country. But what happens when we have made grants to you? What is the mode of sustainability? That's when we also add our regulatory mandate in our education and awareness, so that we can assist in giving all these NPOs some modes of survival, some sustainability models in terms of them coming to register with us, what we call society lotteries. So our education and awareness is just on par. We are trying to reach all corners of the Republic. As you can see, we have had a target of about 20 per year, but so far we have done 182. Thank you, Commissioner.
Let me just say, Commissioner, the issue we're trying to discourage is actually the debate. What actually has been a bit of a challenge is that social media and general media, there's lots of things that goes through. And in some cases, you actually find that it's actually time-wasting and very defaming and insulting. So for those who are actually, you know, referred to directly, legally you'll have a right to be able to actually engage on a process. But on my part, because I'm not a, you know, guy of social media, the other guys are doing much here, that maybe even in the age group, I may not actually fit very well. So I think one is trying to avoid in this portfolio committee to allow that kind of engagement. So because once you actually do that, their discussion is through the window. And it's very difficult to manage or administer when it gets to that level. So all I'm just saying that there may be lots of things. He's a communication person. There can be a lot of things they say. They read better, they talk better. But I think in some cases you would find that it may not be quite helpful and adds no value using any platform to actually get even with what might be an allegation which is not proven or confirmed. So I'm just saying it becomes a bad space to actually have a discussion at the portfolio committee because it really doesn't help. Okay. So can we actually then take you, Commissioner?
Thank you. Thank
Chair,
you so
point
much,
of
sir.
Order.
To whom?
To you, Chair.
What's the point of order?
Respectfully, Chair, I think that we had resolved this particular issue with Ms. Yaku having brought up social media earlier, and I think that there was an agreement amongst the committee. And I feel as if we're now opening that issue up to debate there. So if we can please just stick with the agreement that was had in the committee, I think that would be the appropriate thing to do.
Can I just say as well, I'm speaking to the communication manager of the NLC. I'm referring to what he has actually presented and the issues he has raised. That's my take to him. I'm just saying, I'm speaking through you because he communicated through the meeting. So I'm just saying those points, you see. So that's why I say, for anyone who's a member, I'm not addressing you as a committee. And for Honorable Yako, I think it was quite clear. All I'm just saying, as a committee, let's keep the space, you know, immune, cleaner, so that we can be able to have better communication. So, Cuthbert, my apology if ever I misinterpreted, but I'm just responding directly to the communications manager. He will actually clearly understand what I mean by that. Okay. So, Commissioner?
Thank you, Chair. Chair, let me start by just a... I may be wrong, but I just want to voice my concerns. I perceive this as an attack on the chair that seek to disrupt the progression of this committee, that points of order are leveled against the chair all the time, and I'm not happy about it.
We note that. Commissioner, thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I would like to promise Sabon Bokodo that I've been very active in that space as well, and that will show maybe if we start to extract reports on the kind of things that women have been funded for. What has been referred to or what prompted the question of 1% against 2%, I will apologize for that. It has to do with the 10% with proactive funding. But all our sectors, arts and culture, there has to be a target on women funded in arts and culture. Most of the women who will deal with issues of gender-based violence apply to charities. Thank you for raising that. I will go back to extract information in terms of those programs that would have funded in this year. That 1%, I remember, actually came about as there was that big discussion in the country around gender-based violence. And the NLC didn't have applications on the system from people in that area. It means we must go back to them and literally get them to apply. But we are funding. It could be that it's combined with other things. We'll extract that report, Honorable Member, and send it through. It's not 1% only, and we will quantify it for you just to give an idea of how much it would have been in the current current financial year. So on the issue of AG and the projects, I'm going to request the CFO, who also gets to oversee the AG work, to give members a brief explanation on that, on the work they did on those projects that, you know, have been written about and are currently being investigated. On protection of beneficiaries, I think the chair has dealt with that.
The target of 5% members, let me explain that it is the minimum. And I'm just hoping that members get the original document, which is not the presentation, the big quarterly report. In the quarterly report, then you will actually get to see that the 5% would have been at about 66 million. That gets distributed from the word go to all the provinces. And based on the needs of the provinces for funding, that's where the addition comes, that you will see it's 5%, it's 7%, and the others it's 8%. We must say that Gauteng will appear to be receiving a lot of money, but then maybe it's about how we are accounting for applications that have to do with big federations, especially in sports. All of them are necessarily, the applications are processed through the Gauteng office. So that's where you see that Gauteng necessarily will be over in terms of that. And the same applies to the Western Cape. There was a time when the federations here would be funded necessarily. It raises the percentage that the province would have received. The terms of reference for the investigation, honourable members, can I request that we will send that as soon as possible tomorrow when we land in Pretoria. Education and awareness being done. Honourable members, this is legislated, and like I indicated earlier on, it's on the APP. If you can look at the big quarterly report, you will see how we have dealt with that matter of education and awareness. Like, for instance, just as an example, the issue of gender-based violence, you know, much as I would know that women are being funded, it gives me an opportunity to go and zoom into that, and maybe for our officials who do education and awareness to actually go out and do more work around that so that we can receive more applications. Chair, I will request you to also deal with the issue of what is contained in the MOUs between the National Lotteries Commission and the provincial authorities. So on stretching targets, honourable member, yes, the board as well does that every year to us. But I indicated that we are going into a new strategic framework. So maybe this whole a medal of having, you know, sustained the 100% will give us a challenge with the new ones that are coming. But every year necessarily we'll go back, because that's the work that is supervised by the board to stretch the targets, to make sure that, you know, the extra work is being done to achieve them. Chair, the cost incurred with investigations, I will ask Ntate Tsietsi, to actually deal with that. I think proactive funding has been exhausted, really. I will not answer more questions on that. I just wanted to say something, Chair, which necessarily will be linked with the matter I raised around the issue of funding gender-based violence, and what Chair got to say about impact and the difference that the organization is doing. In that quarterly report, which we do every quarter, you will see that there is a specific area where we get to report about impact. I will just quickly read, for instance, what appears in the third quarter report, which we didn't include in the presentation. It says, during this quarter under review, a total of 739 site visits were conducted. According to the monitoring data collected, 1,757 jobs were created in the quarter only from the funding that would have gone through in the quarter. And it says that comprises of 1,353 permanent jobs and 404 temporary jobs. In terms of social groups, 1,200 were adults, 472 were youth,
and 85 jobs were created for people with disability. In addition, 186 jobs were retained through project funding, ensuring continued employment for people. A total of 1,038 people benefited from skills development that was conducted and funded by the NLC. And lastly, over 44,096 vulnerable secondary beneficiaries were reported to have been reached through funding that went out in the third quarter only. So, Chair, in that report, quarterly, we provide the statistics because the board also has a process where, you know, after a while, it's not about the impact only. We get to extract the number of jobs that have been created. We have to check the gender of the jobs, the gender in terms of whether it was women, it was men, and most importantly, the serious focus on making sure that we empower people with disabilities as well. So they fall under this. And this is separate from what the CFO got to talk about around procurement and what we are doing in that area to empower people. This only has to do with the funding that was allocated for different projects. Thank you, Chair. CFO.
Thank you. Thank you, Commissioner. Thank you, Chair. Chair, perhaps just to indicate that the AG did pronounce our last reports were for the 18-19 financial year, and I thought maybe let me take the opportunity as well, Chair, to give what was the overall message that was given by the AG in the last audit. And their message around or their impressions on the audit was that the organization remained clean as a result of having the right skill set in key management positions, leadership that drives a culture of sound corporate governance and maintaining a strong internal control environment throughout the financial year. They've also raised that there were no findings on the compliance focus areas as well as the predetermined objectives, which is the performance information that they also look at. They talked about, they commended the organization in terms of the quality of the financial statements and the performance report, which was subject to the audit. They also concluded on the overall financial viability of the NLC in that it was good, and they also expressed themselves around the assurance service providers, which is senior management, internal audit, the board audit and risk committee, as well as the board, in that it was assessed as reasonable. Having said that, Chair, the AG in their previous audit, which was the 18-19 financial year, did site visits to both modes of funding, which is the application-based, as well as proactive funded projects. And for that particular year, the AG did not have any findings as a result of the site visits that were performed. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Chair. I'll deal firstly with the question of illegal lotteries and issues raised around LottoStar. The issue of LottoStar is quite important to the Commission. And members must know that it's not only LottoStar, it's quite a lot of bookmakers that are, you know, doing the same activities that LottoStar is doing. But then we focused on LottoStar because of its aggressive marketing strategies and the fact that it's one of the biggest. With the hope that once the court has assisted with interpretation, you know, that interpretation will then be applicable to all others. I remember the first time when we initiated this engagement on, and ultimately the case for LottoStar, they actually brought a list of many other bookmakers and said, why do you target us? You know, here are the other companies that are doing the same. Why don't you just cite them in the court papers. But currently it's only Lotto Star and Betting World that are in the court papers. Now, Chair, the law regarding that is quite clear. The grey area is on interpretation. If you look at the Constitution, the issues of lotteries and sports pools are a national competence. It's very clear. Schedule 4 of the Constitution is very clear on that. Now, you go down to the Lotteries Act. The Lotteries Act is very clear in terms of Section 57. It says if you take based on the outcomes of lotteries, that's it's a criminal offense. Now, the problem is with interpretation at a provincial level when bookmakers get allocated or issued with licenses. When you issued with a license as a bookmaker, you allowed to take bets on contingencies. Now, bookmakers interpret, lottery numbers as a contingency on which they can take bets on. So that is that's a point of contestation to say, if the Lotteries Act says it's illegal to take bets on the outcome of lotteries, the assumption is that the law would not allow you to take a contingency that is unlawful or illegal because it's determined by the Lotteries Act. And that is where we want the courts to assist us with interpretation. So the Lotto Star matter is still in court. We were hoping that if the National Gambling Bill went through, because if you look at it, you know, there are certain parts there that, would have they wanted to deal or regulate this particular aspect that we're dealing with. But as it stands, we are pushing for this case because we want the precedent on interpretation. The law is very clear. The only issues that we have is interpretation, and that's where the issue is. So the Honourable Member, it's quite a lot of them, but we want a precedent to be announced by a court so that we can, while legislation is not, at this moment clear, we believe that ours is very clear, but when the gambling bill gets passed at some point, I think we'll find a solution to the matter, or a court precedent will then lay the matter to rest. Now, the issue of MOUs with provincial gambling boards, I think one of the critical areas that the Commission wanted to address is precisely around these issues of interpretation and understanding between laws dealing with lotteries and, gambling legislation. So those MOUs, if you like, you could call them a platform of engagement of some sort to try and minimize some of the issues that ends up having different entities of government interpreting the same law differently before the courts. So that's the issue on Lotto Star. There was another issue on the cost of investigations, just a rough figure. I'm aware that the NLC has just spent just over 5 million on investigations around the issues that have been coming up in the media space. That's not an accurate figure, but I know it's just about 5 million. Now, Chair, the last one I would like to, just as a point of emphasis on the issue of beneficiary information and releasing of the list, and Prof dealt with it. But and what Prof was basically saying was that there's a situation which will ultimately find resolution either through the courts or once the proper interpretation is sought and understood by all. There's a specific regulations. There are 2001 regulations that deals with beneficiary information. And this regulation in Clause 8 says all grant-related information is confidential. And it says nobody should release that information, and obviously that is subject to the Constitution, the Promotion of Access to Information Act. Nobody should release that information except under four categories. One, if you're making a confidential disclosure to Parliament, to the Minister or to Parliament, confidential disclosure to the Public Protector, to the NDPP, or if the beneficiary to whom the information belongs consents, and the board consents. And it concludes by saying contravention of this regulation is a criminal offense. And that is why the NLC will always say, look, we're in this situation where you need to be open, transparent, and this and that, but you've got to deal with the fact that there's a piece of legislation that you've got to implement. But having said that, it's important to also indicate that whenever information of beneficiaries is requested, we've always advised the requesters to follow the prior process. Now, the PIA process allows us then to engage with them, because this is what it says. You receive a request. If the request belongs to a third party, you inform the third party, you give the third party a period of time within which they could advise you on whether or not to release their information. There are times where beneficiaries would say, look, they are looking for 1, 2, 3, 4, you can give the information, and then a determination will be made and information will be given. So there is a process, and that is the PIA process, that we communicate with everybody that requests information to say, while the law says, you know, this is, or these are conditions under which information should be released, but you have the PIA process that is open and communicated to all, that is on our website, that you can ordinarily follow if you want to request the same information that is protected, and then we'll follow the internal rules and take a decision on whether or not that information gets released. Thank you, Chair.
You're done. Can I then just say there may be issues that we may have to follow through, and I think one which is actually coming out clearly is the issue around the beneficiary list. Because what you're saying is that there is a process to follow to access information from the beneficiary list. And I think maybe as a committee, there was an issue that was raised about the list being publicized. And I think what you've been saying a number of times is to say we do have a process that needs to be followed if you need information from the beneficiary list. So maybe we may actually have to make time to actually have a discussion on that if we want to follow through, hoping that maybe as a committee we won't just ask the questions again. So let me actually ask that we then conclude and move to the issue on the agenda, the next one. I'm just worried that our time has actually gone. If you can actually allow me to move to the next item. I see hands up. If it's actually about follow-up questions, can I ask that we note that you will raise the point and then we will proceed, so which means just a point to note. Let me take Honorable Mulder, Cuthbert. We will just note that. I think we then will proceed to the next item on the agenda. Mulder, you on the floor?
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity. Just an oversight from my side, I think, as well. I was actually reminded. I don't see any, there's no mention in this committee report of the operation, about the operational mandate and performance of the operator, Ituba, the licensed operator. And I think it's important that the committee should have that information. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much for the opportunity, Chair. Chair, just two clarity-seeking statements, and then thirdly, just an omission that was made. Firstly, Chair, we speak of six clean audits. If you look at the years 2014, 2015, up to 2018, 2019, you start off with financially unqualified, then a clean audit, qualified, and then a clean audit. So we should just be accurate about what we say in this House. I don't think we should purport to have six clean audits when that's not in fact the case. The second issue is, Chair, is that if I'm correct in saying the gentleman's designation is spokesperson, you are basically saying to this committee that you have been breaking the law for the last 4 years considering the fact that the beneficiary list is available on your website. Could you maybe just explain that? Maybe I missed a point or I didn't have my wits about me at that time, but could you just clarify that particular statement? And then, Chair, there was just one question that was left unanswered in terms of the status of the COO, and it was deferred to the Commissioner if she could please respond to us on that particular matter. Okay.
Can I just say I did make a comment on the issue of list by the Communications Manager. I think we'll actually pass that, but the other point of the COO, I did actually make a comment as well, asking that we actually move with speed on that issue. So can I actually then go back to the next item on the agenda? The issues raised are actually noted. I think the clean audits part, Cuthbert, one will actually apologize and withdraw, and actually then check if ever the number of clean audits, I said six. A CFO would have an idea. So how many clean audits? So that I correct that. you see, because that's quite important.
I think the 6 years refer to the 100% achievement of our targets as per the performance information.
Or 100% achievement.
Yes.
So I say clean. So it's not correct here. Okay. No, that's fine.
The clean, I think if I...
Clean is 100% same or is it different? Because I think the Honorable Member is raising a very important point. We can't say clean audit if it's not clean audit. If it's 100%, which means target is missed, but we actually may have references of issues raised. So let me just say, I would actually correct that. Cuthbert, I think you're correct. It should actually be accurate. Can we then move on to the next item on the agenda? Yes?
It must not be construed as if the NLC lied. 6 clean performance and 4 clean audits. 100% performance, 6. Clean audit, 4.
Thank you very much. You see, those are the numbers. I think the Honorable Member has just corrected me. I think that's the point. So thank you, Cuthbert, for the accuracy. Can we then look at the agenda of the committee? So we will take just a few minutes. We're not detaining you. So we are done the part of your program. Can we just, we'll finish in a few minutes. Can we actually look at the program before you, Honorable Members? I'll ask Secretariat to take us through.
Chair, members, we're looking at the second quarter program. You will see that in the program that we still need to complete, we originally scheduled on the 17th of March that the department will do the APPs and strat plans. We received communication from the powers that be that we should have such engagement, a joint meeting with the NCP committees. And hence we're not having that meeting on the 17th of March, but rather we're moving it to the 14th of April, because that's the only time that the NCP committees are in Parliament. They have taken Parliament to the people during scheduled for that particular week. So hence that change to the program for the 17th of March. The 17th of March program will only deal with the outstanding committee reports. That's the third quarter, quarterly report of DTI and EDD, as well as the oversight report that we need to consider as a committee. Now, with regard to the program for the second quarter, we have scheduled the meeting with the joint meeting with the NCP committee on the APP and strat plan. Also, when the minister was here, he indicated that he will respond to some of his questions on the in April, and that meeting is scheduled for the 15th of April, subject to the minister's available. There was outstanding questions that the minister, because of the time constraints, wasn't able to respond, and he's indicated the 15th of April as a possibility. Then, members, there is a committee strategic planning session that needs to be scheduled, and we can only do that once we have seen the APPs of the department. And that session is scheduled for Thursday, 23rd to 24th of April. But it means that it will not be at Parliament, it will be at a venue off Parliament, and so that all members are there and cannot leave because we need to complete that. And most likely, members, we will leave on the Wednesday evening to that particular venue, depending where it will be. It will either be, we're still looking at venues for that particular, but that's a session that we must have, the committee strategic planning session, on Thursday, 23rd to 24th of April. Then there's a leave period, and we will return to Parliament on the 5th of May, and we will engage with stakeholders with regard to the curriculum industry and challenges facing this industry. It's a two-day session we set up, and that was in the response to the meeting that we'll have on the 18th. And also, we will also have engagement with stakeholders related to Saldanha Steel issues on the 12th of May. And then you will see we'll have follow-up meetings with SABS, NRCS, and we will have public hearings on the automotive industry master plan and other matters, matters dealing with the fourth quarter performance of DTI. We scheduled to conclude the program on the 10th of June because constituency period starts on the 17th of June Nick. There is one issue that members raised regarding a joint meeting with the Select Portfolio Committee on Science and Technology based on last week's meeting. When we engage that particular committee, they are not in Cape Town. They scheduled a workshop on the issues in Pretoria. So we discussed the matter with them and said we will schedule such a joint meeting in the third quarter because they're not going to be here June, on the 9th of June where we intended to schedule that particular meeting. So the meeting, the program then reverts back to the original program that we placed before the committee. So that meeting will happen in the third quarter, a joint meeting with the science, PC on Science Technology on IKS and all the matters. Innovation now, yeah.
Honourable members, the program before you, can I get your comments, if ever there are any? Let me take Hammonds and Cuthbert.
Thank you, Chair. Regarding the committee strategic planning session, I want us to make those dates provisional. There's some party business that I think is going to affect those dates, but I don't have it in front of me at the moment. So if we can just make it provisional at this stage.
Just say you're moving the adoption, and then let me get a seconder.
But I can't move the adoption if I want to...
You said provisional.
Yeah.
You see. So the program we adopt here, there might be issues that arise and disrupt it. But as a committee, we may have to really approve. So I take you as a mover. Cuthbert?
Chair, I'm happy to agree with that. But that's not my point. My point is, Chair, I just want to clarify, we're supposed to have the steel industry coming, and I understand there were a number of things added to, I think it's next week, Wednesday's meeting. Does this now show that there's been a separation and we'll now still have the steel industry, but rather the ferrochrome, mass mart and the like will actually be broken up into smaller segments?
I think the issue on the 18th, the minister was still coming to deal with the ferrochrome steel and I think it is the sugar industry. Because to have mass mart and cement industry on that day is too. So hence we shifted that to the second quarter. But the minister will speak on the ferrochrome steel and sugar industry.
You seconding. Thank you very much. There's no objection? Okay. The program is agreed to. Honourable members, I'm sure in terms of our agenda, we would actually move to closure. There are no remarks. Thanks very much. The meeting is adjourned.